Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday to all across the Delaware Valley. What a magnificent day. What a gorgeous day. And we're at a great event. We're outside. We are at, as you heard, the morning show. My guys, Bobby and the bro and Pat. They were at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament. This is awesome being here. The Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament from Penn Oaks Golf Club in beautiful Westchester. What a day. What a gorgeous day. It's all being presented by the McDade team at Cross Country Mortgage. All proceeds benefit the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation, dedicated to bringing transformational moments to young people in underserved communities. To donate, please, we want you to go to briandawkins.com/impactfoundation. So check it out. What a day. It's a magnificent day here live in Westchester at the Penn Oaks Golf Club. And you know what's funny? I was handed a list of the golfers that are going to be in the tournament today. And I got so excited. I see Harold Carmichael and Brent Selig and Trent Cole, PQ Douglas, Eddie George. Oh, I loved Eddie George. Brandon Graham, BG, the great Jaws. Seth Joyner, the great Seth. Javon, the freak curse. Chad Lewis, number five, will always love you. Donovan McNabb's going to be here. Q, the great Mike Quick and Merrill Reese. Big John Runyon. Corey Simon, Takeo. Who's got a better neck than Takeo? Takeo Spikes. Willie T, Trey T, love Big Trey. My boy, the Axeman will be here. Darren Walker. And, of course, the great B. West. So, like, I'm looking at all these names, and I just go, I love these dudes. I don't know which dude I love more, right? I go, there's Runyon. I love John, right? Five. And look at it. Q, Big Q, Takeo, Trey, all these dudes. Of course, our B. West. And I start to think about what loving your athletes, like to really love. This team was a special team, an incredibly special team. And the greatest thing that happened to this team was the fact that in 2018, we got to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And you're saying, well, what do you mean? What does the fact that the Eagles winning the Super Bowl have to do with that team? And I'll tell you why. I was looking at, say, five. Let's look at Donovan for a second. Donovan was a great player. He really was. Like, he was a joy to watch. I think about how much fun I had watching him play quarterback and moving and throwing down the field in 2004 and all the runs and stuff like that. And what happens is when they don't win, there's a pressure, right? And it's the shame is the pressure then turns into like an angst. And we're feeling that right now with the Sixers. It goes full circle that, you know, when you're buzzing around, and you're expecting a championship and a title, it creates this angst and it creates a pressure. And what that does, it kind of steers you away from the pure joy and the love of a player, of enjoying your player. And I think that's what happened with five. I said this all the time with Cummins McNabb, that if Donovan would have won it, say in 2001 or 02, right? Because those were the years to win it. In 2001, their shock the world moment. They're leading the greatest show on turf at halftime. And if they win the Super Bowl then, he's God. Like, five, there's never any bad word about him. And I think that, or 2002, comes back. Like, remember, he played on that broken foot and broken ankle and wins the or leg. We always say the same thing. And beats Arizona, right? If he comes back and wins it, That's legendary status, right? Like, that's legend status. And so that not only changes the way the fans view him, but also his own enjoyment, right? Like, he looks at it differently because he's showered with love as opposed to, you know, critiques. Listen, I'm guilty. Like, yo, why'd you throw that ball? Bah, bah, bah. You didn't win. Like, you know, the whole thing. But when 2018 happens and they win, what that does is it frees you as a fan to love your players, to love them. And it frees you in that way to love your players. And as I see one of the great faces of Philadelphia sports, one of the greatest ever, my main man, one of the best in the world. God, do we love Brian Dawkins? Does this town love Brian Dawkins? Love of a player, it personified with one man. In fact, as he sits here, and we are at his golf tournament, which is such an incredible experience on a lovely day. The Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament. And here he is, the namesake, looking handsome as ever.
Thank you, brother.
What's going on?
What's happening?
My man.
So you had your coffee this morning.
You know, always like, I got liquid espresso indeed, running through
indeed,
the veins.
Indeed, indeed. How you been?
Baby, great. And this sunsplash day is perfect.
It's perfect.
Right?
Seriously.
It's perfect
nice
for what
breeze.
You're doing.
Yes, nice breeze.
It's like God smiled down.
Yes, he is.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
he
is. Yes,
and I just feel it, baby. I totally feel it. Tell me what kind of, where are you at right now, man?
Oh, man. Little bit exhausted still from last night. Just a lot of a lot of giving last night as far as from my heart of what the foundation means to me and where those donations will go and the children and the single parents that did a it'll help. So I'm a little bit drained from that, but I'm excited for the opportunity to have a great day today.
Yeah, we are in a beautiful place, the Penn Oaks Golf Club here in Westchester, to host this great event. You have all of your friends that have supported you, that are coming in to support you, to play. I was talking about your teams, and obviously we don't need to tell you how much we love you. You know that. All these players and all these guys, your friends who came in, still giving the people, giving up their time, helping out people. I think that's the essence of sports.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And it is. It means a lot to me to be able to ask some of these guys to take time out of their busy schedules to come out to support the foundation and the things that we're doing. But not only that, you know, for me also is when we bring all of these cats back together, like it takes us back to the locker room so we can have some fun and joke around and enjoy and kind of reminisce on some of those times as well. But again, for them to come back and want to spend time, you know, with your boy like that, that means a lot to me.
Well, and it's, you know, listen, you get what you put in, right? And you put a lot in, and that's why everybody's here. And you have a vision. And part of it too is we look at, you know, what you want to do. And that is a beautiful message that is true to what we all need to be.
Yeah.
But tell me, when you decide to, listen, you know, when you decide to start this foundation and all, you could pick a million different charities. What makes you go this route?
Yeah, it's because of my life experiences and the life experiences of those that I've loved and lost in my life. So a couple of individuals that growing up in my neighborhood, they grew up without a father, and I believe a lot of the things that they went on to do and get into was because of that lack of having that father in the household. But also, you know, I know how the mom worked so hard because I knew them and I loved them as well. So I saw how hard that she was working. Both of them were working to provide for the family. But they was never home. So the streets literally raised those individuals. So we separated because they continued to do things that I knew I couldn't do because I had a vision in mind of where I wanted to go. And, you know, I lost one in the ninth grade. And then I lost the other one as a sophomore in college. But that, from that experience, and then from this experience where I now sit, I understand the power of a vision. I understand the power of wanting something greater than what you see with your eyes, right? And so if I can now, with the foundation, help young people have that same aha moment for themselves, right? To see something outside of their community that they want to go after, because we're blessing them from the foundation standpoint to be able to go after those things. And then the other thing, it gives to parent a peace of mind to know that their child is not in the street. They're actually doing something constructive with that energy, right? So from that perspective, and from a mental health perspective, I call it cerebral wellness. We want to continue to bless young adults with the things that they need to help mitigate the emotions that we all go through, right? We all have emotions of up and down, and there's certain things that we can do that we can help them understand that they can help themselves and they can help others with the way that they handle themselves.
And even, especially now, it's even, life is so much more complicated now.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you know, we're growing up, you know, listen, you always had trappings, man. That's the beginning of time. Yeah. You're going to have trappings. But it's complicated, and then the world complicates, and we just got through a pandemic, and there's all sorts of things. And so you look at young people today and what they've been through, and it's easy as an adult to go, yeah, toughen up. When you start to think about it and you look at their shoes, like, what's going on? It's our duty to bring along that generation, to help them, to guide them. And we have to recognize and understand that it is a difficult time. And it's not about who has it hard or difficult, whatever, but understanding their own plight.
Yeah. Yeah, and what you're screaming is compassion. Like, you're having compassion for individuals that are going through some things that are completely different than anything that we had growing up. As tough as the things that we had growing up, we didn't have some of the things that this generation has to attack their mental space, with the internet and all of the things that they have. So we have to help them mitigate that. We have to help them with give them the resources and the tools to help them in this space once again. Because if we do not do a good job of that, then, you know, there will be a generation that will be, I won't say lost, but it'll be harder for them than it needs to be. I'll say it like that.
We all gather, and we all, today's going to be a special day. And last night, all the guys together.
Yes.
And it's all the faces. And I think back, and one of the, not to go too deep, but one of the things that it's just amazing is, as I look at you, as we sit here, how just time melts away, man.
Absolutely.
Right, dude? I mean, I could do, that's my mate, the Tunis, over here. And, you know, I think back, he was probably 10.
I was 10 years old.
Right?
Wow. 10.
And I think back to, like, I would be at Dolk's Locker. I was writing for the Inquirer. Andy just got the gig, right? It's 1999, right? I come in, I'm my man. And I'll never forget, I always thought you were so deep. Like, I loved our conversations. You told me about, you know, stuff going on in your life and how you got the mental strength and how you would transform. And I loved your talk about mental space, like how you handled it was an awesome thing, brother.
Thank you.
It was like you compartmentalized it.
Yeah, it wasn't as smooth as you put it.
Well, it's easy to look back and say you know what I mean?
But I thank you for that compliment. But and that's the thing about it. This is something that I had to grow into. So the way that I handle my life now, I had to grow into that space. So I've obviously had some failures in doing some things, and as we all do.
Yeah, that's.
But to understand that we can learn from those things to get better, and then come up with new ways and better ways to do things ongoing is one of the positive things that I really pray that the young people and the adults that we are we're blessed to help. I pray that they see that. I pray that they see that.
We're talking to the great Brian Dawkins, and this is the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament. We are live right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament from Pan Oaks Golf Club in Westchester, all being presented by the McDade team at Cross Country Mortgage. All proceeds, like B-Dawk told you, all proceeds benefit the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation, dedicated to bringing transformational moments to young people in underserved communities. Again, for us, we implore you to donate, All right? Go to BrianDawkins.com/impact-foundation to donate to this incredible, incredible cause.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things, you know, real quick, too. One of the things that's so awesome about this region and about the Eagles and the fans together, and it's just, it feels like family, man. It's like, I'm looking at these names, Five, Big Hugh, Trot, Chad Lewis, like Q Michael, you know, everybody, Big John Runyon, Takeo, like all these dudes. I just go, you smile, and you go, this is all family, man. And I know you look at the fans that way, dude. I know you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you start, saying those names, a smile automatically comes to my face because of those times, those moments in tough circumstances. Every one of us as teammates had to help one another in different situations, right? So that's what a family does. A family helps one another. They see someone that may be down and they help them up, right? So it's the same space. So when me as an individual that's blessed to now have a voice and an ability to reach people, like, I want to do what I can to help my family, right? So I'm constantly reaching out that hand to help my family. It may not be my teammates like it used to be, but now I have a new, broader teammate, right, to be able to, again, help as much as possible from the things that I'm able to learn and gain.
Yeah, and that's part of the fact that you're here is Kismet and this town that loves you so much and this that fan base that loves all sports and especially this football team. Football team is... it's in your home on the blessed Sundays, man.
Yep. Or it was
Monday night.
Monday or Tuesday at one time.
Yeah,
Nicole, it was Wednesday.
Freaking Joe Webb. All right. Last thing, and I'll let you go. I know you're busy, all right? So I want to have a little fun. I want to hit you with a couple names and give me the first thing that comes to your mind. All right? So let's start off. I'll give you Big Hugh Douglas.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Cause the greatest, I come walking in. I was writing a book on you guys, right? So Andy gave me all the acts. So I was like kind of part of the family, and I'm walking in the day we were the championship game, one of the championship games, and the first thing I hear is Big Q. Let's do it for the big girls.
That's what I'm saying. Hilarious. So if you were someone that was tight before games, there's no way you can be overly tight with him in the locker room. There's no way.
No way.
There's
you
no way you can
off.
Be. There's no way. There's no way.
All right, Donovan.
Oh, wow. Wow. My brother.
That's awesome. Like,
that's my brother. Seen him through a whole lot of stuff, but that's my brother.
Big John Runyon.
Extremely tough. I'm trying not to say the word that starts with a D. Extremely tough. Extremely tough individual.
He is the toughest man.
I know you asked me just for one word.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He literally coming in really changed the whole mindset of that offensive line, the way that he played.
Yes.
So, yeah, I can't give just one word for John.
Yes, I love it. Trey, the other bookend on that line.
Wow. I know you said one word. Might be the coolest offensive line.
Yeah, I don't care.
His walk to the line.
Yeah.
What might be the coolest
offensive line? He had that strut, like that saunter. He would saunter to the line. Loved it. The Axe Man.
Wow. That was my war buddy. That was my war buddy. Me and him went to war a lot of times. Yeah.
I can just say, man, Ricky Daddy X.
Yeah.
I just want to get nuts. I see him like that. How about Bea West?
Underrated.
Yeah.
Very underrated.
You know, if Andy would have gave him the ball, like Marshall Faulk got the ball, he would have been Marshall Faulk, if not better.
Yeah, I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. You have to remember that a couple of years in the league that he was the all-purpose leading player. in the National Football League many years, many in a row.
Yep.
At that.
All right, I don't want to go. I can go through everybody, but I'm going to give you this. Fly Eagles, fly.
Oh.
When you hear that song,
50-yard line. I think about the 50-yard line. So you remember when I played? Every time we scored a touchdown,
yeah.
I would go to the 50-yard line and I would become a fan, and I would sing this Fly Eagles song with the fans. So that's every time that I hear that song, I think about the 50-yard line and me singing, being a fan.
The greatest memory, one of the greatest memories that I've ever had as a writer, journalist, whatever you want to say, was the pregame introduction in the blow up thing. We were in the blow up thing. Everybody's out and it's just you left. Me, I'm watching you, and you're just pacing. And then you got to introduce, and you come going nuts out, freaking out, and E-H-G-L-E-S, and everybody's freaking out. The greatest, dude.
You're trying to get me hyped.
I am trying to get you hyped. You're going to hit the ball mile today.
But the problem, it won't go straight. So I got to keep my cerebral.
I love it. Doc, we love you, man. We're proud here at 97.5 The Fanatic to be here and to help along with the journeys any way we can. You know, your family, baby.
No, thank you. Thank you. And also, I want to make sure I thank Penn Oaks. Man, they have been such an outstanding partner to be able to do my first and of many to come golf tournament, but they've been so helpful, and I'm so thankful to have them.
Amen, brother.
Appreciate
God bless you, baby.
Every day.
Here he is, the great Brian Dawkins. As today, what a special day for us all day long. You heard the morning show. Mikey Miss will be here later on, and of course, me and the Chunas will be broadcasting from the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament. And again, I'm going to tell you about it. The Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament from here in Penn Oaks Golf Club, Westchester. I love you, buddy.
Love you, buddy.
All being presented by the McDade team at Cross Country Mortgage. All proceeds benefit the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation, dedicated to bringing transformational moments to young people in underserved communities. To donate, go to briandawkins.com/impact-foundation. All right, and we're going to have some fun guests, and we're going to talk about love today. And I want to continue on my soliloquy. Today's about love. All right, now I'm going to tell you about, look, I love Primo Hoagies. I love that. I do. I got to admit. Hey, with prom and graduation season happening and all the gatherings in between, you're going to want to serve in style with Primo Hoagie party trays and sampler platters. No matter what you have planned, you know Primo Hoagie's got you covered. All right, they'll save you all the prep time. You get it together. Everybody loves it. All the big trays and containers of hoagies. Everybody freaks out. Oh, they love it. Oh, I want the Italian, I want the turkey, the ham and cheese. You know, no matter what it is. Listen, whatever the events you have planned, there's no bigger party pleaser than Primo's. Made with the highest quality film and meats and cheeses sliced fresh to order. Served on Primo's award-winning cedar rolls. Baked fresh in-store every few hours. Stop in one of their over 90 locations or order your tray online at PrimoHoagies.com. And don't forget to add the cookies. Primo Hoagies. Remember what I've always said? It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
But it's time now for some morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Stop. Hey, lady! Shut up!
Will you just shut
the
your
great
trap?
Shut up! Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
Well, I woke up, I was thinking about the love thing, and as I watched Jaws walk by, you know.
You showed him a little love there just now.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, I love these. I make no bones about it. One of the things that I appreciate about, you know, sports, and we're such sports heads in this town, is, you know, I love our guys. I do. You know, I mean, I may criticize and this and that, but that doesn't mean I don't love the guys. And on a day like today, where we celebrate our athletes, you know, you show respect and love. And that was part of the thing I woke up thinking about, you know, that. And by the way, a little addendum to the story. So the manager at PetSmart called Tam yesterday.
No!
Yeah, after the Gooch got butchered, right?
And yeah.
My Gooch, the Nick on the Johnson?
Yeah, come on, man.
For the dog? For my love, my best buddy, the Gooch?
Yes.
My Sheepadoodle? He got, he went to the groomer, and they nicked the Johnson, and then they made him out to be Capone. And they put his picture on the wall.
I'm surprised they didn't put a muzzle on the dog.
And said he's not welcome here anymore. And they were all after him. And he was like the FBI's most wanted dog. And then I got a nice call. My wife got a nice call about the Gooch and if there's anything they could do.
So were they listening to the show?
I don't know. Maybe. But that's the addendum to the story. I don't know. Tam handles that.
You know, apology would be nice.
So, you know.
Poor dog.
Right?
Yeah, and then you made him out to be this awful, awful,
well, that's the
awful
thing.
Being.
That, you know, the slander of the Gooch is what I didn't appreciate.
Yeah, that ain't right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, here, look at this. You really never got a chance to see. Look at this picture. Look at that.
Dude, that's worse than... Then oh look, my God!
Look what they did to my boy.
That's worse than what I
look
saw.
Look what they
on
did
YouTube
to my boy
yesterday. Oh my God!
My Gooch. Bob Cooney. Look what they did to my poor dog.
The poor dog.
Look what they did to him.
Oh my God!
Yes.
Horrible.
Right.
What the hell?
Right. Look what they did to my Gooch.
Is that the one that
that's my Gooch. But they yes. nicked. Right. They nicked the Johnson.
They nicked his Johnson.
And then because he freaked out. They put his and what they said he's not welcome anymore.
You can't nick the Johnson.
You can't nick the Johnson or the Gooch. And then they made it out to be Capone, Bob. They said he was like Capone and Dillinger. And they put his
you nick my Johnson, I'm Capone too.
Exactly, Bob. Right? Connor, no good, dude.
No good.
Anyway.
Poor dog.
Yeah.
My
Gooch. Bradbury. Yeah, awesome. Huge, dude! The bro! Bro comes over with a brat there. Division.
Out.
Bleep the cowboy. Howie rules.
Stepping up to the tee box.
Oh, sorry.
Not yet.
I gotta be
I think
quiet.
We got a little bit. We got
it's always
a
bad idea to have me at a golf tournament.
I'm pretty sure hole one, the first tee box is right behind you. So that's going to be good.
Oh,
I'm looking, forward to that. Hello, friend.
I better shut up.
At least hello, this isn't friends. After Sixers games like, 3 and 4.
I do like Nance. Yeah, I should try to imitate.
So my morning thought was about the game of golf. And you know, I'll be honest with the audience. You and I actually kind of talked about this before the show. How do you become good at golf and not, you know, you woke up, you know, in life and you're rich and you're golfing when you're like 2 or you pick up clubs when you're 3? I mean, like me. The regular Joe. How do you become...
The regular Chunis?
How do you become good at golf when you don't really have time?
I know.
Because I was thinking about it. Like, this is an incredible day, right? This
yeah.
is. But if you're coming out to golf, it's not just because you're a major Eagles fan or you want to do good for, you know, for charity and donate money to the cause. You're probably coming out here to play because you're good.
Right.
Now, all the golfers here are not professionals, right? They're not playing any amateur tournaments or anything like that. But they're probably shooting around par.
Yes.
How do you become good at golf? I play
ten
times a year, and I'm the same golfer every time.
Right.
And my dad always goes, oh, just take some lessons. Is one lesson?
No, but you got to devote. You got
to
play.
And who's got time to do that?
Right. I mean, you know what is funny? I was talking about my buddy Vinny.
Yeah.
Right? So Vinny ran an airline, right? And so Vinny... a lot of his business, like, you know, was golf. Like, mm-hmm. like you got clients and you're playing golf, you're doing it. And because it was an airline, he would be flying all over the country playing these exclusive courses.
That's awesome.
Right? So Vinny's flying all over and, you know, his boss loved it. And so the owners of the airline, they were golfers. So a lot of that stuff, managers meet, like they were like the big kind. You know, they put their own golf tournament. You know, when you're like that,
then you play like, a lot.
And he's a lefty, and he can crack the ball. Yeah. So, you know, like he got good. Like he's good.
Like it's.
I don't want to go out with you. I mean,
right.
I stink.
Right.
I don't want to do anything I'm not good at.
Right. And we always talk about sports, just God given talent.
Right.
Is golf God given?
No, you still have to play.
That's what I'm saying. Like Tiger started playing when he was like three.
Like here's the thing. I think stuff like hitting the ball mile, like the physical piece of it, or maybe you have an eye, right?
Yeah.
Like. That's God-given. Like, if you can hit, if you got great torque and you can, like, hit the baseball, like, you feel it, boom, right?
But you drill a 30-foot putt, is that?
But to hone your game, you have to play.
And, like, I enjoy it. Like, I like going out, but I also hate myself half the time because I'm like, this isn't fun until you hit the good shot.
Right. Well, that's the drug that keeps you coming back.
I don't understand how people get good at it.
The good shot.
My buddy, he started golfing 2 years ago. Like, legitimately golfing.
Well, if you get the puck, if you play, did he get good?
I went out with him. I was like, are you serious? Like, I've been playing since I was at least like.
Yeah, but again,
10.
You can't play 10 times a year.
Right.
You got to play, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
Regular.
But who's got time?
Well, I mean, you know, if you got kids.
Unless you're like a businessman.
Right.
That's part of the meeting.
That's your day, right?
Hey, let's go.
Well,
let's go have a meeting.
That's the Vinny situation.
Yeah.
If you're in that spot. You know,
that's just what I was thinking about this morning.
But it's hard. It's hard. Like, unless you grew up with it, too. Like, that's the other thing. Maybe you grew up and you're around it. Like, that's another part.
Yeah.
You know, if I were to take Moss, because Moss would be better, I think, than Anthony.
Okay.
Anthony can hit. Anthony big. But if I were to take them, then maybe, you know, they grow up. They grow into it.
Yeah.
But again, who's got time? Like, again, he's playing baseball, he's playing football. Camp's gonna start soon.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's lessons, and I mean, there's workouts they have to do. You know, Moss plays two baseball teams. There's no time.
No, absolutely.
And I'm with him all the time, yeah. So there's no.
So when are you going out? Exactly.
Right. My that's my hobby. My hobby's them.
Right.
And that'll be you with Coop.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Coop.
I got the text. During the early parts of the show, that he may have had his first smile.
That's good. Wait till he like he looks at you.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's been a couple days ago. I started noticing this. He's now drinking the bottle and staring at me.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, dude, I love you, man.
Dude, wait till he.
And that just started this week, right? So like, it's been a cool week. Like I'm feeling. It's last night. Christy and I get in an argument because it's 3 in the morning. He's crying. It's usually her turn to do the 3 a.m. and she's tired. I'm like, come on, I'm tired. You know, fine. I'll go do it. And I bring him downstairs. I'm all annoyed. And then he's looking at me as he's eating. And I'm like, oh, man, this is great.
It's the best.
This is like, I'm all better now.
It's the best.
Just him looking at me in the eyes. I'm all better now.
Dude, wait till the greatest gift that you're going to get is when you come home from work. And he greets you.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy.
That's so cool.
That's the great. Like, I think back to that, I could cry. When Anthony, because I would call him my little boy.
Yeah.
And back then, he would have trouble saying the L's, right? And
okay.
He would say Yiddle.
Oh.
And he's like.
That's adorable.
It's your Yiddle boy. Like, he thought his name was Yiddle boy. Like, my little boy. It's your Yiddle boy. Daddy's Yiddle boy.
Oh, that's adorable.
Dude, I would just be in melt.
Yeah, of course.
Like, melt.
Yeah, like, you could do no wrong.
And then last night, I'm sitting with him, and he eats a whole pizza. The whole pizza by him. Now he's a monster. He'll be bigger than me in a year.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Joiner. What's up, baby?
What's up, boss?
My man. Okay. Wait, so you don't even know this. So you were part last year. I got to tell you a story. So last, you remember, we were talking about running the ball, right? And you went nuts. Right, running the ball. It was awesome. Like, there's nothing better. I love post game because I just want to see you. Like, I love you. All you guys do such a great job, and I love it. But I love you, right? And I love your, because you're honest and real and passionate, and you live it, man. You live it. Like Sosa said to Tony Montana, there's no lying in you, Seth Joyner. There's no lie. So anyway,
I'm incapable.
No. So. You were going off, and then if you remember about the chart, you could get rid of this. You remember about the chart about running the ball, like throwing the ball, and they come off the chart and do all this stuff. So I created a character called Charty, and Charty spoke to Nick and go, Nick, don't listen to him, Nick. Listen to the chart. Listen to Charty. Right, and then Charty's nemesis. He was afraid of only one person, Seth Joyner. And then we would have Charlie go, Nick, oh no, Nick, Seth is coming. And then you would crumple up the chart and throw the chart.
And you know what, it worked out.
I tell you what, man, either you got too much time on your hands, or when you was 18, you got a hold of a bad bat.
Oh, I just have to tell you, I need to get a kick out of it. So, first of all, thanks for being here. It's a beautiful day, and you always give of your time, and you are bleed green all the way, baby. You know, family. Bradbury, I know you love that signing, right?
Well, you know, when I got here earlier, you know, somebody asked for an autograph, and he was like, what do you think about Bradbury? And I'm like, what about him? You know, I didn't know that they just signed him today. I guess that solves our problem at one corner. Now, you know, if we can figure out, you know, and get a safety, you know, I'd feel much, much better about defensively where we're going. And listen, for me, for all the hype that, you know, Jonathan Gannon got at the end of last year, you know, as a head coaching candidate, hey, listen, it's time to put up a shut up.
Yeah.
I need to see some creativity. I need to see some blitzes. I need to see some mixed coverages. I need to see this defense elevate to a level, you know, where they can be competitive each and every game. And I'm not talking about being competitive against the Sisters of the Poor, because that's what they played against the last,
the
last nine games of the season.
Yep.
You know, you go back the first seven games of the season, they played some pretty good quarterbacks and they didn't fare so well. But he's got all the tools at his disposal now. It's time to, you know, construct this defense, you know, turn it loose, let guys go, be a little more aggressive and make something happen.
Truth, what did I say? There's two guys to me that this year there's a lot of onus on.
Well, Gannon, as you just mentioned.
Gannon, Jalen
Hurts.
And Gannon and Jalen, because that, like you said, You got to sound Reddick, man. You got some pieces now to work with. There's no excuse for Jonathan Gannon to get gashed the way they got gashed.
Well, they can get extremely creative. I think, you know, what Hassan Reddick brings is, and I'm curious to see, you know, like last year, it was his first year. I wanted to see, okay, what are you bringing to the table? You know, what is this defense going to look like? You know, there was some conversation that, you know, he didn't have the type of talent that he needed to be as effective as a coordinator as he needed to be. Well, that's certainly not the case now. I'm really interested to see how they're going to deploy Hassan Reddick. Because, listen, you can't line him up at rush in, you know, at 6'1", 235 pounds or 250 pounds if he's up to that amount, you know, for 50, 60 plays a game. That's just not going to work. But what it does, it gives him a lot of flexibility, because now he'll be able to play, you know, that outside backer in the five-man front that Jannard Avery played. But he's a much better, you know, he's much better at dropping into the flat and relating, you know, to receivers.
Yep.
And you can play him off the ball. You know, you can slide him over and play him off the ball in a 4-3 look, 4-3 stack look, and bring him.
Yep.
There's a lot that you can do with him. When you look at all the pieces that they have, you know, you got a general. you know, in the Kobe Dean now. You're going to have tremendous, tremendous competition at the linebacking position because of, you know, the draft picks, the signing, you know, Kazir White.
I like him, by the way.
Hey, listen, I still think, you know, I still think we're sleeping on Davion Taylor.
If the kid
can figure out a way to stay healthy, I think that, you know, he's going to be, you know, a big part of, you know, what we see this year. But, listen, he's got all the pieces. You know, he's got everything that he needs right now. Now it's just a matter of him expanding his playbook, expanding his play calling, and using all the tools that he has at his disposal. And lastly, you know, everybody, and I was excited about being able to draft Jordan Davis. And this is just my opinion. My biggest concern is, you know, him being able to maintain a playable weight. You know, I think he played at 350 to 355 last year. He went to the combine, slimmed down to 341, ran a 4.3, a 4.74, 40. You know, you got to keep him away from Pats and Geno's. For one. And I'd love to see him down in the 315 to 320 range.
Yeah.
Where he can be an impact player as far as, you know, rushing the passer.
Yep.
Otherwise, you know, if he plays up in the 350 range, you just drafted a run stopper at 13 and given up a 4 and 2.5 to move
in
up
in a passing league. Yeah.
In a passing league.
No, I'm with you. I think for sure, and he's got the quickness. Like you're dead right about that because he excites me. The kids could be explosive. Like if you get him where you want him,
hey, listen,
he's a rocket ball.
You're really just scratching the surface with him because when you look at him, he's like a big baby, man.
He's like a big baby
that likes to eat and you know, just jovial.
Yeah, happy.
But if you can slide a little bit of gunpowder in his food each day, you know, make him a little meaner and a little more
Seth-like
and get him down. You know, I think he has the opportunity to be the type of defensive tackle that I've only seen three times in my entire career. Okay? Jerome Brown, John Randall, and Aaron Donald. They're complete defensive tackles. They play the run. They play the pass. They're complete. He has the ability to do that.
Wow.
With his size, you have to double him in run situations or he's going to kill you. You know, if he can learn how to pass rush, because they're going to slide away from him when he's in passing situations, he's going to get one-on-one. If he can keep his weight down and he can learn how to be a consistent pass rusher, he only has 7 sacks in his entire Georgia career. But if he can become a 10-sack guy, listen, man, they got something hellacious and special on their hands.
Was John Randall real? Was he insane?
He was cuckoo, man. He's still cuckoo.
Judas, there's probably two people I run away from.
Yeah.
Seth and John Randall.
Hey, you ain't got to run away from me. I ain't going to do nothing to you.
But there's no, we talking about mean, man. That's football, baby. All right. Offensively, let's talk about Jalen for a second. So I had a guy who I trust who's out in L.A. who saw him working out with House. And I just got a text unsolicited and said, yo, I saw your boy look good.
Mm-hmm.
Boy look good. And I that got me hopeful. What do you think about, you know, how do you kind of look at Jalen, mechanics, you know, the whole thing about taking the reins? That was, he's got, you know, look, he's got all the weapons. Just like Gannon, now he's got everything in his support, including a good offensive line.
So let me ask. I always pose this question because it's important and it's worth posing. When a quarterback is drafted in the top 10, he's going to get 3 years to fail to succeed.
Yep.
Okay. We didn't know what we had in Carson Wentz. His first year, he went 7-9. He had a really good defense behind him. Went 7-9. He comes back the second year and just blows up.
Yep.
Okay. He's expected to do that as the number 2 overall pick.
Correct.
Okay. Jalen Hurts is the 53rd overall pick, second round draft pick. Every quarterback needs time to develop. Patrick Mahomes, Hebert, you know, Joe Burrow. Those guys are outliers. They're anomalies.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to, if that was the blueprint for every quarterback, then every team would have a franchise quarterback. But most quarterbacks need 2 to 3 years to develop. And that's what we're watching in this kid. And we just got to learn how to be patient. You know, listen, he wants to be good. He wants to be great.
He's got a demeanor, good demeanor.
He's working at it, you know, at a fervent pace. And he's enlisted outside, you know, help to help him get there. Most players don't do that. Mm-hmm. They just go through the machinations of, you know, oh, I got this skill set. I'm working with, you know, my quarterback coach and my offensive coordinator, and that's enough. No, it's not enough. You know, sometimes you got to step outside of the box to go and get people to give you everything that you need to succeed, because believe it or not, even quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators sometimes don't have all the answers mechanically to help you get to where you want to get to. So the kid wants to get better. And I think he's, because of all he's been through between Alabama and Oklahoma, I think he's built for Philadelphia. I think he can handle Philadelphia. Now, he's got to go out on the field and prove it.
Right, right.
But I'm more apt to give people the benefit of the doubt as a former eighth-round draft pick when no one expected anything from me to be able to turn, you know, an eighth-round draft pick into a 13-year, you know, career. I'm more apt to give a guy a chance than to say, oh, what he can't do. Because right. I'm looking at the games every Sunday,
right.
And I see him make throws that make you go, maybe he can get it done. Okay, you see some throws where you're like, I don't know. But at the same time, what I do know is that he's learning how to play the pro game. And I was talking to Donovan about this last night. I think if he gets to a place where he understands timing in the NFL is the big difference maker. The ball has to be out of your hands on time. Mm-hmm. It affects your accuracy. It affects everything. It's not like in college where you can wait for a guy to come out of a break and zip it to him. You've got to throw the ball in time and on rhythm, because if you don't, DBs are no more than a step behind. They're going to make up the time while the ball's in the air. So when he learns how to throw the ball on time and in rhythm, it's going to be over.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, that's going to be the whole key for him. I mean, look at a guy like Donovan who was blessed with an amazing arm. I mean, five can throw a brick wall, man. Right. And that's what allowed him to be able to, like, you know, listen, right. He can get the ball. You're open. He's getting the ball to you. And I think that's the piece of Jalen that, well, this is a year where they could sneak up on you now. I mean, this is a pretty good team. What are your expectations? Like, the Cowboys take a step back a little bit in the offseason.
Well, listen, I expect for them to, in year two, I expect for Jalen to be better. I expect for the defense to be more aggressive. Listen, the way the schedule sets up for them, you know, they're going to dominate. I think they're probably going to win 10, 11 games.
Yeah.
My biggest concern is this strength of schedule is so weak. By the time you get into the playoffs, now you're playing upper echelon teams. Do you get there and you're one and done because, you know, you haven't played
right.
that level of competition yet? That's my greatest concern when I look at the schedule. But when you look at the way it's all played out, I mean, they got one of the easiest schedules in the league, you know, and they should dominate it. You know, if they can split with the Cowboys, they're going to beat the Commanders, and they're going to beat the Giants twice. So you got seven wins right there. Well, five wins. My math is all off today. You got five wins right there. And then when you look at, you know, the divisions that they have to play, some of the teams that they have to play, you know, they're going to be easy games.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you got
Lions. I mean, you got Houston.
You got the Lions. You got
a lot of dubs.
Yeah. There's a lot there. They can really get some stuff done, but, you know, are they going to be playoff ready when it comes time? That's my biggest question.
I like it. Seth, we love you, dude.
All good, my brother.
You're the main. But you ever see the show Winning Time?
No.
The Lakers. It's behind the scenes Lakers. Oh, it's on HBO.
The one that that Jerry West is all pissed off.
Yeah. I got a great show that I want to write. You ready? It's 1986. It's the Buddy Rides Eagles.
Oh, geez.
Labor strife, right? The whole thing. Philly in the 80s. Seth Joyner.
I can't divulge that information. I see you later, cuz.
See you, brother. You're the man. The great Seth Joyner. Oh, I love you, Seth. Charlie loves him, too. How about it?
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sometimes the wind brings something brings some treasure to you. And right now, our treasure, the great Roger Worski.
Ah, cuz, great to be with you,
man.
Good to see you out on the golf course. How the Flyers doing, by the way? I'm trying to catch up on things. So what's going on?
Man.
Who? You know I got to have a little fun.
I know. Have a little fun. George, I'm so excited to see. Let me ask you. Bradbury, they got to fix the corner spot.
The secondary, outside of Darius, you know, got to be fixed. That's
right?
Where it starts. That's where, I like everything they've done so far this season. He's working on it. I know he's working on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, those guys don't fall from trees right now.
Right,
I mean, Bradbury is a nice acquisition.
Yep.
You know, but Carolina let him go. The Giants let him go. I don't know why.
Right.
You know, I look at him. He's got some talent. Maybe the scheme will be a better fit for him. But the secondary right now has got to be solved. I think the linebacker position has gotten a lot better. Defensive line got a lot better.
I know you love the Kobe
Dean. I love Redick. I love Redick. Huge. Brandon, and don't forget, Brandon Graham is coming back.
That's right.
So, you know, there's some depth. The rotation is there. The edge rushers, the linebackers. But as you know, we've talked about this through the years. The NFL is evolving. It's a pass-happy league right now. You know, how many wide receivers went in the first round? Seven in the first round. So that's what you're at right now. Why do you think they're doing that? Teams are doing that. Because they can, because they're creating matchups.
That's right.
And you better be 6, 7, or maybe even 8 deep in that secondary. You can't go nickel dime. You got to go better than that. Some teams are not playing 7 and 8 defensive backs on the field.
Yes.
So that is an issue that must be figured out.
All right. So let's talk about the big acquisition, and then let's talk about Jalen. So A.J. Brown, all right, and I know you love that. I got a text. I think it was unsolicited, who was out in L.A. and saw Jalen and working out with Tom House and said, I saw your boy. He looks good. And that one little text message got me excited.
Mechanics are important, you know, and his mechanics were inconsistent. They have been inconsistent. I think the young man has a great future ahead of him. I really do, because he's a hard worker. He's got to get better. I'm not saying that, you know. I took some grief after the playoff game because I said, you know, I'm not sold.
No, you should be. There's nothing wrong with that.
I called that game for Westwood One.
I know you did. Yeah.
So I'm watching a game. All of a sudden, I look up. It's 31-0. I'm supposed to be split down the middle when I'm calling a game nationally, but I'm like, I know. Oh my God, these are my birds, you know?
Yeah. Plus, I think McCarthy was with you.
Yeah, and we had a ball. Tom is like world class to work with.
Exactly.
You know, so I watch a game, and sometimes it looks different when you watch it, you know, in person on the field. You don't see all the replays like, you know, when you've been to my office.
Yep.
You know, we just roll a play 20 times.
Yeah.
And when I went back and looked at the tape, he did not play well. So I couldn't couch that legend. Oh, no, he did great. He missed blitzes. He missed progression reading. He had people open and was late with him. There were a lot of things that were wrong. And I downgraded my positive feeling from the regular season because in the playoffs, you got to bring your A game. You go against Tom Brady. Tom Brady had no receivers in that game yet. He went up and down the field. You know?
Yep.
So that's what the quarterback has to do. He's got to go up and down the field. You got to protect your defense. You got to do all those things that are necessary. But he had a poor game. So now we're going to see how he reacts to it. I know he's going to put the time in. He's a great kid. We all pull for him. But you know, what we say here out at a beautiful golf course at the Brian Dawkins golf tournament, you know, means nothing. It means nothing what we say. He's got to go on the field and do it.
So, Charles, when you look at what was around him now.
I know. You mentioned A.J. Brown. That made the whole draft move. This draft is going on, and I'm how he's always kind of
he's lurking,
jabbing somewhere, looking to make a deal. And I'm looking at round 15, oh, boy, we can't. Let's see who's there. We're going to get to maybe 6th or 7th best receiver in the draft at 18. He makes a deal for A.J. Brown.
No, when he makes the trade, real quick, let me ask you. Yeah. When he makes the trade, were you thinking Jameson Williams? that he was going. Yes. And then Detroit snags him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know how they had him rated.
Right. Right.
I loved Williams. The injury really set him back because the guy's a dynamic playmaker. But when AJ Brown popped, I said, "You got a top 10 proven NFL receiver."
So at 24 years old,
I immediately go to my research. You know, I got Coffee Jones. I got all my guys. I guess let's go. I want to know. You know, I've watched him play in Nashville. You don't see as much because we don't see him much in Tennessee Titans. The guy's a stud. I'll give you one statistical number based on film breakdown. Since 2019, when A.J. Brown came in the league, he has 24 touchdown receptions versus man-to-man coverage. Since 2019.
Wow.
24 touchdowns.
Wow. Yeah.
The entire Eagle receiving corps since 2019 has 23.
Oh my God.
Against man-to-man.
Oh, my God.
So when you get in the red zone now, you got a man-to-man beater.
Right.
And that's, he's big, he's strong, tremendous ball skills, body control. So I was hosting a draft party, actually, with Harold Carmichael, Hassan Reddick, and we're like high-fiving. This guy, this is the guy. I thought it was maybe one of the best moves Howie's ever made. We'll see how it plays out. But right now on the surface, you now have a veteran wide
receiver. That's such a great number.
24 touchdown receptions. Wow. Versus man-to-man coverage. The whole Eagles wide receiving core in that same 4-year from 2019 has 23.
Oh, my God. Judas!
I'm not.
Judas!
Man-beater. Give me the
man-beater. Man-beater. We always talk about that.
Man-beater.
You and I, me, you and Baldy, and we do our meat locker, and the importance of man-beaters and having it. They haven't had that.
Every guy in this league could run patterns against
zone. Yeah.
It's a lot more intelligence in running against zone. You got to have a feel. You got to know where to sit down, and when to move through space, where the linebackers are. When you're man-to-man, it's mano-a-mano, man.
That's
I'm going to rip your butt. You're going to try to cover me.
That's right.
And A.J. brings that mentality. When the ball's in the air, it's his.
So what about Dean? When you go, I mean, oh my God! What about football play? Like that—that's like to a wonk like you. Are you kidding me?
Well, as I was studying him, I'm thinking he's a first round pick.
Yeah,
I don't know about the pick injury. I'm not playing doctor.
Right.
But if you project his game on the field, he's going to be an All Pro NFL linebacker. He's a thumper.
Yeah.
He can play downhill.
Yep.
He's a three down player. He can take backs out the backfield. He can take tight ends down the seam. All those things that today's modern NFL linebacker must do. The only question mark. It's the health. I mean, if you plug the tape in, well, you and I would be high-fiving.
I love college football, so I'm watching him all day.
So and you know what happens when first-round picks that have a wart, a blemish, whatever, an injury, they fall in the third round. Same thing happens with quarterbacks, by the way. That's why only one quarterback went in the first round. The other bunch of guys went in the third round. Because they all had warts.
Yeah.
They had blemishes. They had pimples. And that doesn't mean they're not going to be great players. Joe Montana was a third-round selection. You know?
Sure,
so,
yeah.
So those guys that are projected as first-rounders that have that blemish fall to the third round. So you get a first-round pick, and you pick them up in the third round. Another great move.
All right. Jordan Davis. Now, if they can – it was funny. I was talking to Seth earlier, and we brought up, obviously, the weight. Like, if you can manage him and you get him playing, because you get him – if you teach him how to rush the passer and you manage his weight, he could be scary.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not so sure you have to manage his weight. I think if you just get him in shape –
right,
you know, and we've all seen the highlight tapes when he goes. He runs, you know,
240
pounds. You see, they show the highlights. There are too many times after that great play, he took a player too off.
But
he gets to the NFL. It's conditioning. Yeah, you know, Georgia has a great
program. Right.
These are great programs, but nothing like NFL programs.
Right.
And diet, you know, the diet and everything else. And once he understands how to play at the NFL, they'll find his right weight, how he can move, and how many snaps he'll play. He'll be a dynamic player. But the thing that I like about it most of all is he can get head up on that nose.
Oof.
He can get head up on the nose and just push the pocket back.
Right.
He's a bulldozer, you know. I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, Fletcher Cox with all the movement.
Right.
But you know what? If you got to account for him on the inside, like Warren Sapp in his heyday, when they put Sapp on the nose, them guards are helping out. All of a sudden, you got guys coming off the edge. Now Reddick comes into play. Now Brandon Graham comes into play. Now the safeties and the blitz come into play. Because you got to play it tight.
Judas!
So, I'm excited about that. You know, hey, Charles, we got a long way to go. So far, so good.
I can't
wait. Andy's excited, too.
Can I go out and make some birdies?
Go, please.
All right,
I love you guys, Charles.
You guys,
you're the greatest,
you're the best, man. Keep in touch, all right?
You're me. The great Rod Jaworski.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.